Children, time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul to keep. Come, my children, time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul to keep.
Hello and welcome to the Enlightened Medicine Show with Dr. Valerie Olmsted, the holographic physician. And tonight I kind of changed things a little bit. So we're going to have a little bit different program tonight because I think it's necessary. But before we get into that, let me first mention that the show is brought to you by starlights.com. That's with two R's, starlights.com. And alternativecancer.us. So please do check them out if you haven't done so yet. They have some great products, fabulous information. Really helpful folks. Okay, tonight I wanted to talk to you about the flu. Dun, dun, dun. If you've been keeping track of all the flu stuff and all the free vaccines out there, and if you've been listening to this radio station for a while, you know that many of us do not recommend that you ever get a flu vaccine because they're pretty much totally ineffective. They like to claim they're about 62% effective, but I'm not buying it. Now, before we go into what to do to prevent it and if you have it and how to recover from it, let me first explain that position, okay? And legally, most physicians are going to tell you that you should get a flu shot, even if they believe otherwise. The reason they're going to say that is because it's determined to be a standard of practice, just like recommending chemo and radiation is if you have cancer. So a physician is not supposed to say to you, I don't recommend that. They're supposed to give you, you know, yada, yada, yada about this, yada, yada about that, and then you make your own decision. One of the worst things you can do is ask a physician, what would you do? Because we are supposed to say, this isn't about me. You know, what I would do is something that you probably wouldn't want to do. However, I have stood on this particular issue for quite some time because I have an extensive 40 plus years in the medical field. I can tell you that pretty much every person that I have ever given a flu shot to or who has ever had one that I've known has gotten the flu. Now, if you've been listening lately, most allopathic doctors will tell you, oh, that's ridiculous. It's a killed virus. You know, you're not going to get the flu. Well, let me explain something about the flu. There's the influenza virus, and then there's the flu symptoms. They're not the same thing, okay? They're caused by the same thing, but they're not the same thing. The difference is that the body really doesn't have any defense against viruses. But what will happen is, especially if you're pretty healthy, which is why the virus usually strikes people in the healthy parts of their lives, you know, like from young adults to about elderly are kind of the target group. The reason is because your immune system at that stage is really good. Most of the flu symptoms that you suffer are due to your immune system response, not to the flu, okay? Because your body can't fight the flu, right? We don't have antiviral stuff in our bodies. So what you have to look at is, okay, what causes the death then? Okay, it's not the virus. The problem is if your body, if your immune system responds really incredibly hard, it can kill you. Now, it normally takes a couple days for that to start. So you usually catch the flu a couple days before you realize you've got it. So this is why it's so prevalent, because people are running around. They might not feel 100%, but they don't realize they're sick yet. And they're coughing and sneezing and talking close to people, kissing people, you know, whatever, and it gets passed. Okay, so it seems like it's this terrible geometric spread. What it really is you don't know you've got it when you have it, okay, until it gets really bad. Now, the reason for that is because it takes anywhere from 2 to 4 days for your immune system to mount a defense. So for those 2 to 4 days, like I said, you might feel a little tired, but you might think, well, no big deal. I'm just tired because I've been working too much or partying too much or whatever. Then you get hit with it, and then you are down for the count. Depending on how aggressive your immune system is, you may be down for a month. If your immune system is not aggressive, you won't have that kind of a reaction. So what you have to do is you have to treat the symptoms, because you can't do anything about the virus. Now, there are antivirals out there. They are not all that terribly effective against the flu. The reason is because the flu virus mutates as it jumps from person to person. So the current flu virus that's out there for this year, for which, by the way, they have no vaccines for. So if you're getting a vaccination, you're getting it for last year's flu virus. So, you know, I just blink when people go, oh, you have to have a flu shot. And then you go, okay, this is a brand new virus. It's not even the same one. What makes you think this old flu vaccine is going to work? And the answer is it doesn't. Okay? So here's the problem. You could take some antivirals, but they have a ton of side effects. Okay? The two antivirals that are FDA approved, like we should trust the FDA. Ha! They've pretty much proven they can't be trusted, okay? But anyway, these are two FDA approved, which means I would run like hell in the other direction, is Tamiflu, and the generic name for that is oseltamivir, and Relenza, which generic name is, I have a hard time pronouncing these, Yeah, I can't pronounce them. You probably can't either, unless you're in the medical field giving people this stuff all the time. There have been all kinds of horrendous side effects leading to death with Tamiflu, okay? You might have heard Dr. Fred Bell talking about this years ago. In fact, they gave it to a bunch of Japanese school kids, and they committed suicide and bizarre episodes of suicide. That's just one of the side effects when you're taking these things. Okay. Now, if you're immune compromised, you may have to take the chance on something like that. There are several risk factors, and I'll go into that in a little bit. So if you're wondering, should I get the flu shot? Should I not? Should I take an antiviral? Should I not? We're going to go into that tonight. Okay. Because it's important stuff to know. Now, putting my feelings about it aside, let me just give you the simple facts here. The flu virus for this year is H3N2, so far. Keep in mind it's going to mutate as it goes through different groups. It's going to mutate to something that is not H3N2. Maybe it'll be H3N2 variant 5 or something, or variant 2B or something like that. They will get to work trying to produce a vaccine against that. By the time they do that, the flu season will pretty much be over. And even when they do it, they can only produce so much. So putting aside any kind of conspiracy theories about why they're trying to vaccinate the hell out of everybody, one of the things that's a problem with vaccines is that it weakens your immune system, causes all kinds of other problems. And, you know, when you talk to doctors who have been practicing for a long time in the allopathic world, they will say, oh, yeah, well, you know, back in the 20s and the 30s, I remember all these kids that died of this and died of that. Okay, so what we have now is a weakened gene pool. And this is going to sound really callous, so brace yourselves. But some of us do not believe that people should be saved at any expense. The reason for that is because in any type of animal husbandry that you do, in other words, breeding animals, if you allow any kind of genetic malformation to come through, any kind of weakness, to be bred in as a genetic characteristic, you are basically going to get to the point where that race of beings is not going to survive. And so that's a problem. I think we have saved too damn many people throughout the years, at least the last 50 years. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't have sympathy for those of you that have things that you've been saved from, or your kids, or anything like that. This is a tough thing. It's a tough issue to deal with. Okay? I'm cognizant of that. And I'm not cold-hearted. However, looking at it as a scientist, I can tell you that one of the worst things that modern medicine ever did was save a bunch of people that shouldn't have been saved. Okay? And now we're wondering why we can't afford health care and all this other stuff. That's why. We've kept people alive for too long, people that should have died naturally. When you look at it from a metaphysical standpoint, it's not such a big deal. Because, you know, we come back. We keep coming back. We are eternal beings. These bodies are like cars. Now, having said that, most of us do want to live, right? Because that's the drive. Everyone wants to just live. So we have to balance all these things. So if you're a parent and you're wondering, should I give my kid a flu shot? I'll tell you, I'm not a parent. But if I was, I would never give my kids any of those things. Now, part of it's because I'm a naturopathic physician and we have things to take care of the worst things. And, you know, such things as homeopathy and particular types of herbs. Now we have quantum physics medicine. We have all kinds of ways of taking care of these things. And so most naturopaths would rather that their kids go through a more natural course of treatment. And it all has to do with making the body stronger, making it real. Okay? So, all right, so now we got past the difficult part, okay? Hate me if you want to, but I'm just telling you the facts. What you decide to do as a parent or as an individual, that's up to you. I'm just telling you what I've observed through over 40 years in the medical field and watching what's happened with blood tests and everything else. You know, it used to be that your lab work was compared to the norm, which was, you know, however many thousands of people they have made up the standards for. It's all changed now because we have very sick populations. That would not have happened if we hadn't kept saving the people that should have been let go naturally. Okay? All right. I'm going to climb off the soapbox now. All right. Now let's get to the people that are at risk and may actually need to do something. Now, these are people who are at risk for getting serious complications from the flu. When they say serious complications, they mean death, okay? Let's get that out of the way, okay? So if you have any of these conditions and you get the flu, yes, you could die. It's not guaranteed, but, you know, it just means you need to be a little bit more careful. So the main thing is breathing disorders because the flu is usually respiratory. It's a respiratory transmission. So you can imagine that if you have asthma, chronic lung disease such as COPD or emphysema, cystic fibrosis especially, anything like that, any type of really bad allergies, those kinds of things can make you at a super high risk because your immune system is going to mount such a huge defense in some cases that it will overwhelm you with mucus. It will inflame your tissues to the point where you can't get the airways open enough to breathe. Okay, these are why you have problems when you have this kind of stuff going on. The other thing is blood disorders like sickle cell disease. That's where your cells crumple up, you know, if you do not have enough oxygen. Well, you can imagine if you can't breathe, you've got the flu, you're miserable, and you have sickle cell disease, then whammo, low oxygen state, boom. The cells sickle and you're in sickle crisis. So then on top of the flu, you've got this stuff going on. Another thing is an endocrine disorder like diabetes, because diabetics tend to be a lot more susceptible to not getting through illnesses very well because their sugar balance into and out of their cells is not correct. So if you're diabetic and you get the flu, you need to be very careful. Make sure that you keep your sugar at a healthy level. What normally happens with the flu is you either hurt so much or you're so nauseated and or vomiting that you can't eat. For a diabetic, that's extremely dangerous because you can go for a couple of days without eating and have your blood sugar hit above 450 very easily. It's a stress response, and it has to do with your adrenal glands. So you have to get protein into yourself somehow. Let's see, other things, heart disease. No matter what the heart disease is, whether it's congenital, congestive heart failure, coronary artery disease, some kind of electrical damage, whatever it is, you've got to be careful, okay? Because the flu is going to put a huge strain on your heart. So we'll be talking about supplements and things that you can take with these things a little bit later. First, let's get through the people who are at risk. Kidney disorders, because you can't clear the stuff out of your blood. Liver disorders, same reason. Metabolic disorders, there are some inherited metabolic disorders, mitochondrial disorders. Mitochondria are the little energy factories of your cell. So if you have a problem with your mitochondria in the first place, then you get hit with the flu, yeah, big problem. Morbid obesity, mainly because it also impacts a lot of other systems. Neurological and neurodevelopmental conditions. So that pretty much wipes out little kids, okay, and the elderly. People that are younger than 19 years of age that are on long-term aspirin therapy. Now, kids have a problem with aspirin. If they get a viral infection, it's called Reye's disease, and that can kill them. It's an extreme reaction. So normally, you're not going to give aspirin to a kid. Usually we figure, you know, below about teenage years, usually below 14 or 15. But in some cases, you know, you might want to wait until they get to be in their 20s. Also, people that have weakened immune systems due to disease, medication, cancer, steroid use, you know, HIV, AIDS, anything like that. Anybody whose immune system is compromised for whatever reason. Now, the reason that this is coming more to the forefront nowadays is because of the radiation leaking out of Japan. And this could be a severe problem for those in the area, seeing as how the radiation is ongoing and the first thing it does is kill off your immune system. But on the other hand, as long as you don't have enough of an immune system to react, in 2 weeks you'll be over it anyway. Okay? Children that are younger than 2 years old, adults older than 65, pregnant women, and especially up to 2 weeks from the end of pregnancy. And as far as races go, American Indians and Native Alaskans, Inuit. So those are the at-risk groups. If you have any questions about that, give me a call during the show here or shoot me an email later, and I'll tell you if whatever you have puts you into one of those at-risk groups. Okay, now that I scared the hell out of you, let's go into what to do about it, okay? As I mentioned before, if you're at risk, you might want to take the antiviral drugs. I don't know. I don't like to take those things myself. I don't prescribe them for people, and that's because naturopaths have a lot more, less invasive, less detrimental ways to take care of this kind of stuff. So one of the first things you want to do is prevent the stuff in the first place. Okay, you know that old saying, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure? Well, in the case of the flu, an ounce of prevention is worth at least a few years' worth, okay? Because once you get the flu, oh boy, it's miserable. Now, oh, let's go into flu symptoms first. If you have the respiratory flu, normally what you're going to notice is you start to have a sinus headache first. And it's going to go from the sinus headache, then you're going to get sinus congestion, and you might get a tickle in the throat, you might get, you know, coughing, You might have lots of mucus accumulation. That's all very normal. You might be sneezing a lot. Sneezes are usually contagious. It can go beyond that and go down to the stomach. Sometimes you have a 1-2 punch with a stomach flu that then goes respiratory, usually not vice versa. And so then you could have nausea, vomiting, terrible stomach cramps. And you will also have severe muscle weakness and pain. Okay, the flu is extremely painful. Again, it's not really the flu, it's your immune system. Your immune system tries to produce massive quantities of interferon in order to combat the virus. So, like if you've had hepatitis C, you might have been put on antiviral stuff, you might have been put on interferon to boost your immune system. And the first thing we do is we tell people, keep the Tylenol handy, not aspirin, but Tylenol, or Aleve, or ibuprofen. And the reason we tell you that is because you are going to hurt, and it's going to hurt for a couple of weeks while you're getting the shots. But it goes away, you know, after a while your immune system, your body stops responding to it that way. You're normally going to have a fever because the body, even though it can't do anything about a virus, it is going to give it its best shot. So remember, the flu is not the problem. Your body's response to the flu is the problem. This is where you become your own worst enemy. Okay, because there's a problem with being able to breathe and a problem with nausea or just being in so much pain that you can't eat, you're probably going to drop the calories, which can be very detrimental for kids and for the elderly or for anyone who's too thin. So you got to keep your caloric intake up somehow, and I'm going to tell you some easy ways to do that. If you're vomiting, don't put stuff in your stomach because it's just going to come back up. You got to wait until you haven't been vomiting for about 24 hours. If you can't stop vomiting, you can go to the hospital or go to your doctor, and they can give you some anti-emetic pills, a shot if they need to. And sometimes you're going to need to do that. The naturopathic version of that is ginger root. So you go get a fresh ginger root, or actually don't you go because you're sick, so you stay home. You send somebody who's not sick to go get you fresh ginger root and drop it at your door. They do not come in and hand it to you, okay? We got to stop spreading this stuff around. So the minute you think you're sick, stay home, okay? You're not doing anybody any favors going out and spreading it around. So you take the ginger root. You can either slice it and chew on it, or you can put it into a cup and pour some boiling water on several slices and then sip it. When I say sip it, I mean take a little tiny bit into your mouth and hold it in your mouth and just let it absorb through the buccal membrane, okay, which is inside your mouth, you know, the mucus area within your mouth. Just let it absorb, and if you're really nauseated and you're vomiting, don't swallow it, just spit it out because you need to get it into your bloodstream, okay? There are also some really cool ginger teas that you can get. There's either the straight ginger tea, or there's a version that's put out in Asia that's powdered dehydrated ginger mixed with sugar, and it's actually very tasty. However, we don't really want to do sugar. The problem with sugar when you're ill is that 1 teaspoon of sugar will completely incapacitate your immune system for at least a half an hour, maybe for several hours. Now, on the other hand, that could be good if you have the flu because it's your immune system that's the problem. So you kind of have to, you know, feel it out and see what's going to work for you. But ginger is the naturopathic version. Pregnant women can take it as long as you don't overdo it. Whereas all this other stuff, if you're pregnant, you know, it's not a good idea to take that. So you want to stop the nausea as soon as you start to get it, okay? If you never progress to the point where you're vomiting, you'll be far better off because you need to have protein in your body, especially if you have a disease like diabetes. You have to have not just protein, but you have to have complex carbohydrates, which is usually beans. Beans will usually take and keep your blood sugar level So that's a really good thing for diabetics to use. So, like, you know, the old thing of putting some chicken in with some beans, like a chicken chili or something, that could be your friend. Hot peppers also help. Again, because you want to get the heat up, okay? Anytime you have any kind of an infection, if you can raise your temperature, it's going to usually do you a lot better. It'll wipe you out, you know, literally. It'll wipe the bugs out, mostly bacteria, but sometimes you can get it high enough to wipe out the viruses too. Don't do that with little kids, because if little kids got a high fever, they can end up seizing. They can die from a seizure. They can also have brain damage. They can't handle the high heat. Okay, let's go into prevention. Now, there's been a lot of hype out there about echinacea. Echinacea has never been shown to stop the flu or a cold or anything like that. The reason is because it's an adaptogen. What it will do is it'll slow it down so that you will be not as sick. You'll be maybe half as sick, but you'll be sick twice as long, because it's a tonic not only for you, but also for the bug, okay? So what you want to do is be taking echinacea on a regular basis. If you get ill, stop the echinacea, okay? That's the trick to that. You want to be taking a little bit of zinc, and don't go over 50 milligrams a day until you get sick, okay? If you get sick with the flu, you need about 100 milligrams a day for a week. Don't go beyond that. And, of course, you know, always ask your doctor about this stuff too. And if you don't have someone that knows about natural health, you need to go find somebody that does, because most allopaths don't know what to do with this stuff. You start talking herbs to them, and their eyes glaze over, and they just tell you to stop doing all that stuff, okay? Vitamin C is a good thing to keep on hand, although it has not been known to stop a cold or a flu in tests. I can tell you that it is really a good antiviral in high doses. Now, the problem with that is you can't give high doses to little kids or anybody with kidney disease or calcium malfunction or something like that. However, if you start building up your vitamin C, especially during this cold and flu season, you could get up to, you know, even 20 grams a day and be fine with it and just not get sick. And as one who used to do this and never got sick, I can tell you it definitely works. And it works in my patients too. But you got to start slow with vitamin C or you will poop to beat the band. Okay? Don't sit down and try to take 20 grams of vitamin C if you haven't been taking much. Because it's ascorbic acid, okay? Emphasis on the acid. It goes through and it just gives you diarrhea. So you have to build up to it. So what you normally do is go anywhere between 1 and 3,000 milligrams or 1 to 3 grams of vitamin C several times a day. And, you know, you do it once a day to start for a couple of days, then twice a day, then up it to 3 times a day, 4 times a day. Usually 4 times a day is about all anybody can tolerate because they get tired of swallowing vitamin C pills. You can get it from your food. The only thing is that, first of all, you have to be eating the orange fruits and vegetables, but not oranges. For instance, papaya has a lot more vitamin C than oranges do. And oranges are actually an allergen for type O blood types. So you don't want to compound matters by taking things that are allergens. So, you know, look to things like cantaloupe, papaya, sweet potatoes, yams, you know, things like that, pumpkin. And you know, if you need an excuse to eat pumpkin pie during the winter, there you go. Or sweet potato pie. You could say Dr. Valerie recommended that. So there you go with that. The main thing that you want to do too is that I'm going to give you first the things that you should be taking on a regular basis, okay? So you need oils, which are usually omega-3s and 6s, mostly omega-3s, fish oil. It keeps your arteries flexible, just makes things work better. We mentioned zinc and vitamin C. Vitamin D is really important. We have a lack of vitamin D during the winter months. You need to be taking about 10,000 units a day of D3, and you want to take it with a heavy meal, so something that's got some fat in it, because it is a fat-soluble vitamin. And you want to have it really well absorbed. If you do it with a fatty meal, then you can usually drop it down to about 5,000, and you'll at least be in the testable range. There's some chocolate vitamin D3 pills out there that are really fabulous. You can't stop eating them hardly. Don't do those around your kids because they could overdose on that. But there are different ways to get it. There's also a product called Blue Ice out there that is fermented vitamin D, fermented skate oil. And David Wilcock talks about that. It decalcifies your pineal gland and increases your psychic abilities and things like that. So if you prefer to go taking the oils, I would recommend you get something like that. And again, that's fermented skate, S-K-A-T-E, like the skates you strap on and go skating. There's several places that produce that, but you want fermented skate oil. And if you're as old as I am, you probably remember Mom giving you a tablespoon of cod liver oil once a week. Oh, my God. I still remember that. Oh, yuck. At least now you can get it in capsule forms, okay? But we do need stuff like that to keep us healthy. So in the wintertime, you definitely need some D3, okay? Now, the problem with taking cod liver oil is that if you take too much of it, you will impact your liver in a detrimental way. So I prefer to see people taking the fermented skate oil because you only take two capsules once a day and you're good to go, okay? If you take too much cod liver oil, if for some reason you decide you like it, oh, Lord. But if you do, you can actually cause a problem with your liver. So be careful with that, okay? The other thing that you want to do is you want to take certain supplements that are going to not only prevent getting a viral infection, but they're also great at stopping it. Echinacea, you stop taking as soon as you get sick. Sambucus or elderberry, you want black elderberry, which is Sambucus nigra. You want the whole plant. You can usually get it as a syrup or as lozenges, you know, with zinc and things like that. But what you want is the whole plant, not just the berry. The berry tastes really good, but you need more than that, okay? You need the whole plant. And you want to take that. Usually you can get it as a tincture. And a lot of these you want to get as a tincture because they'll absorb better for you. So you take 1 to 3 teaspoons 3 times a day or more. And there's another one called Eupatorium perfolatum, which is known as common bone set. Eupatorium is my favorite thing for people that have chronic sinus stuff. And you can actually get it as an insufflation. You know, it's like it's a nasal spray kind of. And in a homeopathic version, but works really well for people with chronic sinus. You can also get it as a tincture. And you take 3 milliliters, which is just a little over half a teaspoon, 3 times a day. It's really excellent. The other thing is Andrographis paniculata. And that one you might have a little hard time finding. You might have to go online to get that. And that's a tincture also, 3 mils or half a teaspoon, 3 times a day, or a 500 milligram capsule 3 times a day. And the other thing, if you have a lung component, you want to be taking some NAC, which is N-acetylcysteine. And again, that's NAC, N-acetyl, A-C-E-T-Y-L, cysteine, C-Y-S-T-E-I-N-E. Now you want to take that for 6 to 8 weeks and then stop. That provides the organic sulfur, which is the ground substance of the cells, especially of the lungs. So if you have something going on in your lungs, it will help you get through that much quicker. Let's see, what are my other favorite things? Oh, now my other favorite thing for a virus, and I don't do this as a precautionary thing. I do this if I'm sick and I think it's viral. The way you can usually tell it's viral is your temperature will be 101 or less. If you got a temperature that's 101 and going up, you've got a bacterial infection usually. And I say these things, you know, generally because you have to know how your body normally reacts in the first place. Okay. But normally a high temperature is bacterial and a low temperature is viral, except in certain cases. So if you want to take a natural antiviral, Sambucus nigra, elderberry, is one. Garlic also has some antiviral, and you want to get something that has active allicin in it. That's A-L-L-I-C-I-N. And usually Kyolic is one of the companies that makes that. You can use fresh garlic, but unless you like things really hot, it's a little hard to choke down. I love garlic, but I'll tell you what, trying to eat four or five cloves of it, oh, unless there's a steak attached, it's difficult. Okay. So it's much easier to take the pills, especially if we don't feel like taking anything. So those are the simple ones. Now, the next one I'm going to tell you about, Lomatium dissectum, is also known as desert parsley. It has some other names too. Lomatium, when you take that as a tincture, it makes you feel like you have metal fuzz on your tongue. It's very strange. But it will normally knock out a virus. And what it does is it shoots holes in the viral coat and allows light in. So light therapy really helps with this kind of stuff too. Especially if you have like a Dinshaw setup or if you have any of the health lights, the LEDs, the wands, you know, that have lights. If you have a Photon Genius or a Photon Genie machine available, all that kind of stuff is going to help. Ultraviolet light is usually what knocks out infections. Protect your eyes, but then you can use that. Just remember, light has to be on your skin because it has to actually be touching. Radio waves, if you're using that, that'll go through clothing and bedding and things like that. But an infrared, you can't have too much on for the infrared because it'll penetrate a little ways into your body, but not enough to where you can stick it underneath your sheets and your feather bed and all that kind of stuff. It has to be fairly close to the skin. Lomatium, the main problem with that is that if it kills off a lot of virus, you will break out in a head-to-toe rash, and it doesn't make you photosensitive. So for those of us out here in the Southwest, I usually tell people, okay, if you're going to take Lomatium, let me warn you, you cannot go out in the sun while you're taking it because you could have such a strong reaction to kill off so many viruses that you will have viral particles trying to come out of every little tiny centimeter of your skin. It's a very, very uncomfortable rash, but you don't want to stop the rash once you get it, okay? So use a little bit of caution if you're going to self-medicate yourself and be aware that this can happen. Doesn't happen with everybody, but some people, they take a little bit of Lomatium and it's so highly effective that they're screaming pretty soon. But it's not a life-threatening type of rash, okay? It's just a cleansing thing. So then you want to go into some kind of cleansing mode so that you can get stuff out. But don't do a major cleanse. This is not the time to do a fasting cleanse. Oh, which reminds me, you know the saying, starve a cold or feed a fever? What it really is starve a cold or you will feed a fever. In other words, if you don't take care of a cold, you know, stop eating, do some cleansing and stuff, you will finally get to the point where the body will mount a fever and try to destroy the toxins that you've got floating around in your blood. So sometimes that happens, you know, around flu time, sometimes not. But the main thing is you want to stop stuffing your face when you start to get sick. But if you have anything like diabetes, you still have to eat carefully, okay? Easiest way to do that is to do either, one of the live food protein shakes is one of my favorite choices for that, because then you can feel like you're having a milkshake, you know, you can put some chocolate in it, some peanut butter, you know, whatever it is that's your favorite fruit, you know, whatever. You can make it fun. And you'll still get enough protein. I prefer the live sprouted protein stuff, like raw meal. There's lots of different ones out there. That happens to be my favorite one because it has tons of things in there that you need. And everything's raw and organic. So try something like that. You should always have some of that on hand for those days when you really can't eat, but you want to be healthy. Okay, let's see. Where did we get here? I digress at times, you know, and forget where I was on certain things. Okay, so we talked about prevention and some of the treatments. Now, one of the biggest problems people have is hydration. Because obviously, if you're nauseated and vomiting, you're not going to be too anxious to put stuff into your stomach. So, but you got to stay hydrated. So the way that you do that is put a little bit of water, hopefully an electrolyte solution, like Vitalite or something like that. Something, with not too much sugar in it, and no artificial things like aspartame. Stay away from that stuff. It's horrible. But you want to put an electrolyte solution in. You can also get Pedialyte, you know, things like that. I've given that to people that have the really bad flu and, you know, it has no flavor. And they're able to drink that like water, put it in with some ice so it's more palatable. But basically, you want to go to bed. You want to rest as much as possible. Your body's going to hurt, so you want to take Tylenol or something in order to stop the pain. You want to make sure that you're hydrated and that your electrolytes are correct. If your electrolytes get out of balance, that's your sodium, potassium, and chloride, and also your CO2. If that gets out of balance, it's hospital time, because electrolytes going out of balance can kill you very quickly. Most of the time that happens from dehydration. You got to have at least 2 quarts of liquid in you per day, more when you're trying to chase out some kind of infection like the flu. And, you know, if you've got a fever, you're going to be using up a lot of liquid too. So the easiest way to do that is to either take ice chips, take a little bit, you know, kind of let it dissolve in your mouth, get a popsicle, get some really cold electrolyte solution, and just sip it, you know, put it in your mouth. If you can't stop vomiting, just put it in your mouth and spit it out. You will still absorb some of the stuff from there. In drastic cases, you can also do an enema, where you can do what's called an instillation, where you will put in a little bit of electrolyte solution. You can also hold water in there, you know, a cup at a time. Just hold it in as long as you can. Water is absorbed through the large intestine. So when you eat your food and it goes through, there's a little bit of water absorption in the small intestine. Most of it doesn't happen until the large intestine. So if you can get a colonic, that will oftentimes help. But, you know, the problem with that is you're going to go out and infect somebody else. Wear a mask if you have to go out. Okay? The other thing is hand washing. You have to do very careful hand washing. Alcohol alone is not going to cut it. So everybody's running around using these products like Purell and thinking they're safe. You're not safe that way. The best thing you can do is rigorous hand washing and scrub in all the little lines of your hand. And do not touch doorknobs and light switches and things like that when you're out in public. You should always be carrying some Kleenex or something. Go watch that show Monk and you'll see how to do it, okay? Or wear some gloves or something. And then do not touch your face. You know, the biggest thing is people go itch their mouth or they'll rub their nose or something like that. They won't even be thinking about it. And if you've been touching doorknobs and rails and all that kind of stuff, you just transferred a bunch of germs to your face, your mouth, your eyes, whatever. So prevention is very, very important. So please be careful with yourself when you're out in public, okay? Now, after you wash your hands, if you want to use Purell, that's fine. Or any of the other products that are like that. I know there's a lot of them out there now. I don't remember all the names of them. But it's nice to have some of that, you know, that you carry with you. And, you know, you can go to your local drugstore and you can buy little pocket-sized bottles and carry them with you. But remember, it's your hand washing that's the most important part. So take a little caution with that. And, again, don't go out if you're sick. If you start to feel really tired, stay home. Make sure that you haven't just picked up the flu somewhere. And then you got to stay home at least 2 days after the symptoms are gone, because you can still be contagious. You know, you might feel okay, but if you go out there and you infect a bunch of people, you could get it back. It's the gift that keeps on giving, because remember, it mutates. So whatever passed to you mutates when it goes to someone else. So yeah, you can keep getting the flu. But like I said before, it's really not the flu that's the problem. It's your immune system that's the problem. So I can tell you that years ago, we had a really bad flu that hit when I was in medical school. And I remember sitting in the lab one day, and people were literally falling over. They'd be walking down the hall, and all of a sudden, this virus would hit them. And they would literally fall right in the middle of the hallway. And I saw all this happening, and we'd go pick them up and dust them off and, you know, try to help them feel comfortable. And then they had this horrendous wave of nausea that hit and dizziness, and that was it. Then the fever hit. So it was pretty bad. And I was sitting there in the lab, and all of a sudden it hit me. And I went, oh, my God, I cannot afford to go through this. So I went around the corner to the medicinary, and I whipped myself up a batch of whoop-ass. I call it magic flu juice. I whipped that stuff up, and I choked down a full ounce of that. Let me tell you what. When you take some of these natural things like that, and you take a full ounce of concentrated tincture in alcohol, it will make you feel and look like Wile E. Coyote doing the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde imitation. It's truly astounding the things that your body will do that you seemingly have no control over when you swallow that much of this stuff. But I did, and an hour later I was fine. So then I was dosing everybody else in the whole clinic and getting people over it. But it was pretty intense. But, you know, part of the secret is calming down your immune system. So now I hope that has helped and given you, you know, a few hints of what to do. And please try to prevent it, okay? Once you get it, it's really, really miserable. And apparently this particular strain that's out there right now is bad. Okay, it's killed a few people, mostly kids and the elderly. And, you know, a certain amount of that happens anyway, but it's not the big pandemic that they try to make it out to be. So don't get scared. Okay, that's the other thing. If you fear that you're going to get it, you could get it. So stop fearing. And just realize that if you take a little bit of precaution, you'll be fine. Take the precaution by getting enough rest, getting fresh air, and, you know, getting enough of the right foods. Cut down on your sugar consumption, sugar and carbs, and instead go for fresh fruits and vegetables. Wash your hands religiously, carefully. Wear a mask when you go out if you think you're sick or if you're really susceptible. If you're one of those people in the high-risk group that I mentioned earlier, wear a mask when you go out and gloves. Don't worry about what people think about you. You know, you can draw fangs on the mask if you want to, you know, and wear a t-shirt that says, back off. You know, do what you got to do. Now, if you have kids, you already know that kids are little germ baskets. You know, they pass everything around because they're so friendly and loving. And so they go to school and they hug and kiss each other. They don't care if they have snot running down their nose or if they're coughing in somebody's face. And then they're going to bring it home to you. So be careful, okay? And I hope that you don't get the flu. And I can tell you that, you know, until I learned all this stuff, I used to get the flu several times a year. Because when I worked in the emergency room, we passed everything back and forth. You know, one month it would be the flu, the next month it would be pneumonia, then it would be bronchitis, and then it would be the stomach flu, and then it would be something else. You know, it's just constantly, every month, the whole ER got sick. And, you know, that was back when I was doing allopathic medicine, so I didn't really know about all these things. None of us did. But since I started doing these things, I very seldom ever get the flu. And if I get it, I only have it for a couple of days. I don't go into it for a month or so like most people do. The other thing that's going to help you too is prayer. And really what it is gratitude. If you can muster up gratitude for everything that you have in your life, and write it down if you have to. You know, but just go into that feeling of gratitude 9 times out of 10, it's going to knock out the flu and anything else. And it's going to do it very quickly, within an hour, usually, because you're connecting with Source when you do that. The other thing that will help, if you're really miserable and you can't breathe and you can't sleep because you are so sick, this happened to me when I had the swine flu twice, because that was mutating too. And I had patients that came and coughed all over me and gave it to me. And I had not been doing all these things at the time because I figured, oh, you know, I'm fine. Yeah. Anyway, I was pretty sick. What I did was I got into my quantum vortex room, which basically is sacred geometry. And I put on the Dinshaw healing lights. And I took all these little things I just told you to take. And I covered myself up and I went into a prayer of gratitude for 3 hours. And I started to drift off. And every time I woke up, I went back into the prayer of gratitude. And finally, I slept for 3 hours and that broke it. Now, this was a couple years ago when everybody was getting really sick. And so it only lasted a few days for me. But if you're in that situation where you can't breathe and you can't sleep, and remember, if you can't sleep, you can't heal. So you got to find some way to sleep, and drugs are not the answer. So one of the things you can do is the wet t-shirt, you know, where you take a hot and cold shower, really hot, really cold, end with cold always. Wring out a cotton t-shirt, no logos or anything on it, should be just plain cotton, thin. Wring it out in ice water, stick that on as soon as you get out of the shower, and then cover it with wool. So a nice wool sweater. You can do this with socks, with gloves, you know, whatever. Do that, go to bed, wrap yourself up, and usually by morning you will have broken the fever. So hopefully that will help. If you have any other questions, drop me a line. dr.valerienmd@gmail.com. You can access that off of my radio page there. And hopefully all that stuff has helped you now. Please be well, okay? And as always, the show has been brought to you by starlights.com and alternativecancer.us. And so please do check them out. They are wonderful people who really care about your health. And until next week, as usual, be happy, be healthy, and be who you really are. Nighty-night.